Welcome to Dancin' Moon Songcast. I'm Scott Simpson, casting from Dancin' Moon Studio in Spearfish Canyon on the north end of the Black Hills of South Dakota, right on the banks of the Spearfish Creek. If you'd like to follow along, you can download a free PDF of my lyric book from scottsimpsonmusic.com/lyrics. And of course, you can find links to all my music there as well. So let's get casting and find out what song we're going to talk about this time. This is episode 9 of our 12-part series on the 12 songs from both my new album, 2020's Ozzy's Guitar 20 Years Later, and its original 2000's Ozzy's Guitar. We're going to take a listen to Call It A Day in this episode. And so we'll start out with 2000's version of Call It A Day from Ozzy's Guitar.
Spent the morning with my father, fishing for lake trout in the stream. We got nothing but the north wind and a handful of rainbow-colored dreams. He smoked the pipe my grandpa gave him. I chewed a blade of long-stem grass. Water clear as the future, fish as hungry as the past. Storm rolled in above the mountain, and from the far bank he did say, well, looks like the good Lord wants us somewhere else. Guess we're call it a day. Working figures by the lamplight, lining up ciphers on the page. His neck was red as clay soil, his forehead pale as a sage. He'd shave his pencils with a jackknife. He kept our savings in a jar. He knew the shortness of a dollar bill. He knew a little could go far. And when them bankers came one evening, and there was not enough to pay, well, he said, looks like the good Lord wants us somewhere else. Yes, we're call it a day. Kitchen match. He'd spent his days, he'd spent his body. He didn't know no other way. What you hold back in your living, son? He said, you'll only waste upon your grave. When his body finally gave out, well, I knew exactly what he. Good Lord wants me somewhere else.
sing somewhere else. I guess I'll call it a day.
Well, that was Call It a Day from 2000's Ozzy's Guitar. A song with a really interesting interesting kind of story behind it. You know, a lot of the songs on this album, on both of these albums, are come straight from family, real directly from family stories. You know, Ozzy's Guitar, that song itself, and A Good Man, and some of the others that we've talked about. This one is, I guess, it, at best, I would say it's certainly fictionalized, but it leans heavily on specific memories around my father, particularly going fishing, and my father's father, my grandpa Simpson, and doing some fishing with him, and also my other grandfather, Loy Stockburger, who was his father was behind the story for A Man on the Mountain. And all three of them in one way or another came into this song, but the song started in a very different way for me. Back in, I believe it was 1990, probably 98, the great, folk singer songwriter, Tom Paxton, came to Spearfish, and he came sponsored by Black Hills State University to do a songwriting workshop, which was a week-long experience with, we had a group of maybe 20 people, and I was part of that. And Tom, an amazing musician and songwriter in particular himself, gave us a number of different inroads into writing songs, and he worked with us some on songs that, you know, people came already having started work on various songs. I was in that same boat, but this started with an activity that Tom presented us, and so I like to say that this is a song that I wrote collaboratively with Tom Paxton, although I don't know that he would acknowledge that. But anyway, the way this started was purely with a piece of the melody. So what Tom did is he said, now, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a little melody, little snippet of a melody, and I just want you to take that and just run with it. And you extend it, you write lyrics for it, you turn it into the song it needs to be, you change it up if you need to, whatever you want. And so what he gave us was this. Na 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 na. And that's it. Which was great. I was super excited. I thought, you know, because it's kind of like, hey, man, this amazing songwriter has gifted us with a little piece of a melody and said, hey, it's yours. Do with it what you want. So that's what started Call It a Day. And I began, of course, working lyrically with that beginning piece, which is about, represents about half of the of a verse, and so then once I had begun working with that, it took me to a place. I mean, these first lines came pretty quickly. I spent the morning with my father fishing for lake trout in the stream. We caught nothing but the north wind and a handful of rainbow-colored dreams. And that's what I got. And it was very, I thought, well, what does that mean? What's going on here? Because so, what I was working with was some kind of interesting images and even paradox, fishing for lake trout in a stream. Well, by definition, lake, you're not going to catch any lake trout in a stream. Okay. We caught nothing but the north wind. and a handful of rainbow-colored dreams. You know, you hopefully here in the Black Hills, you might be catching some rainbow trout. But we weren't catching rainbow trout. We were catching rainbow-colored dreams. So it set the stage, inspired by that melody. It set the stage for this kind of imagined meeting with a father. And I'm drawing already on my father and his father and our fishing experiences. It's kind of dreamlike in quality and pointing toward more than just a literal, very surface kind of understanding. So I decided I'd go ahead and go with that with the second half of that verse, but I had to adjust the melody a little bit for the second half of the verse to get it to come back around and resolve. So we get into the next few lines. He smoked the pipe my grandpa gave him. I chewed a blade of long-stemmed grass. The water clear as the future. The fish as hungry as the past. So we kind of stay with that slightly enigmatic sort of language there. First of all, my father never smoked. I have occasionally smoked a pipe since college. I haven't for the last couple of years. I kind of decided the older I got, the less I needed to smoke it. And I only smoked it on rare occasions anyway. He smoked the pipe my grandpa gave. I wanted to get into that, something being passed down generationally, and since in recent years with the work that I've done with indigenous communities in my area, I recognize the sacred quality of a pipe, going beyond the recreational pipe, but the spiritual nature of passing on a pipe from generation to generation. And so that line in particular has gained more resonance for me. I chewed a blade of long-stemmed grass, which is something I used to always do when I was a kid. Always did that. The water clear as the future. Which, of course, the future is not clear at all. I mean, the past is unclear even. We work really hard to make sense of what has happened in the past, but nothing's clear about the future. The future is unknown. The fish as hungry as the past. Fish as hungry as the past. Is the past hungry or is the past just gone? At any rate, it sets a stage for this kind of dreamlike, mythic meeting of father and son with an acknowledgement of generations beyond, going both directions, and how unclear everything is. And how difficult it is to grasp, to catch any of these fish, to catch any of these dreams, and to hold them, and to know them, and to see, and to have them, and to have the power either to interpret or fulfill the past, or to predict or control the future. It's a moment. It's a moment in time with another human being. And we're definitely drawing on and recognizing all that is significant going forward and going back, but unable to really capture any of that in any sense of being a fisherman. So we get into the part that kind of becomes the refrain. A storm rolled in above the mountains, and from the far bank, he did say, Looks like the good Lord wants us somewhere else. I guess we'll call it a day. So this was the, this is the line. This is obviously, it's the title of the song, Call It a Day. This attitude, and I don't know that it came from my father or either of my grandfathers exactly, or anybody else. I was drawing on a lot of people that I've known, but it embodies this idea, not an idea of helplessness. I want to say that first. This is not the idea that, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, so whatever. It's not that. It is relinquishing the absolute need to control things. It's recognizing I don't have any way to grasp onto the past and keep it from sliding away. I have no power to predict or control the future. What I have is right here, right now. The other things are out of my control. Now, there's also the idea here, since we're talking about the good Lord, there is this idea that at least I know that there is a higher power, a higher force, a higher structure, a higher being that is ultimately for me, that is ultimately, I guess I would say, unconditionally loving, benevolent, grace-filled. In other words, letting go isn't letting go into destruction and chaos. Letting go is letting go into trust. Into trust that Creator, God, the universe is moving in benevolent and loving ways. That I will be okay in the hands of the higher power. And that's not to say what is so cheaply said quite often. Well, God has a plan. God has a plan. God has a plan. God's got it. Which sort of implies that whenever I see something go one way instead of the other, that's God like behind the curtain moving the levers, making things go this way or that way, which is not something that this song is saying, and definitely not something that I believe. I'm a strong believer in free will, and I think that's part of my belief in a benevolent and loving creator, God. In that part of this is that the loving nature of the creator of the universe mirrors what is desired of me, a loving nature within myself, and that there's a partnership there, that if something is going to move in a positive direction, it's not just God's doing. It's also my doing. It's my job. It's my job to move in a positive direction. And part of that, I suppose, as this song, I think, points out, is that when things go the way that I wouldn't necessarily want them to go, that I relinquish and say, you know what? That's okay. There will be another day. There will be something else. I've got something else to do. I'm not going to beat my head against this wall because there is something else for me to be doing. And that, I think, is the idea behind that that hook line. Looks like the good Lord wants us somewhere else. I guess I'll call it a day. It's not giving up. It's saying, I will move on and find the next good thing to do. And let this one go. You know, there's no more fishing to do here. That's okay. There will be more fishing elsewhere on another day. So we get into the next verse. Working figures in the lamplight, lining up ciphers on the page. His neck was red as the clay soil, his forehead pale as the sage. He'd shave his pencils with a jackknife. He kept our savings in a jar. He knew the shortness of a dollar bill, but he knew a little could go far. So this verse probably leans pretty heavy on also those three men in my life who none of the three of them ever had a great deal of money. It was always budgeting and saving up for and planning, doing some planning and not being extravagant with the spending, and all of that, and trying to work things out and doing good hard work. Now, in this, we've got a farmer, and that was not any of my grandparents, and my dad, although they all did plenty of gardening. Both of my grandfathers worked in oil refineries during World War II, and so were not called off to serve in the military. They were needed to continue doing the work in the refineries that they were both doing, and then my grandpa Simpson continued his work for the refinery until he retired. My grandpa Stotberger did work for public utilities for the gas company and some other things like that. My dad was a teacher and a coach all his life, but all three hard working, knowing the value of hard work, and knowing the need to line up those ciphers, to line up those zeros, to make sure that you're staying within the budget. He'd shave his pencils with a jackknife. That comes directly from my grandpa Stotberger. I remember going there one time and I needed a pencil, and they gave me one, and it was dull. And so I said, "Do you have a pencil sharpener?" And my grandpa said, "Yeah. Yeah, I sure do." And he pulled out his pocket knife and sharpened my pencil. And I thought, oh, wow, that's so cool. That is like, wow, that's amazing. Because I had never seen anybody do that. I mean, I was in school and we'd stick the pencil in the pencil sharpener, and, you know. So anyway, that came into the song. He kept our savings in a jar. He knew the shortness of a dollar bill. He knew a little could go far. So that kind of paradox there. Knowing that a dollar is going to run out fast, but also knowing how to make that dollar go as far as it can. That paradox is an important one, I think. And when the bankers came one evening and there was not enough to pay, he said, "Looks like the good Lord wants us somewhere else. I guess we'll call it a day." So in this, I think in the songwriting, I was thinking about, you know, a farmer. I was thinking about, you know, I had an awareness of the number of family farms that were being lost, and lost primarily because, you know, the bank came to collect and you just didn't have anything because you'd had, you know, too many bad seasons and you lose the family farm. As I said, that's not the story of either my grandfathers or my family, my father. But I do know that they all had losses. I know that there were times when things just went south and we had to move on. That's happened to me multiple times, as my kids were growing up. I've moved from job to job to job on occasion because of various circumstances, and because of the need to make a living. You know, if you can't continue making your living doing this, then you have to go on and do something else. So it's that willingness to say, okay, I didn't choose to give up this home or this town that we live in or this job that I worked at, but I will relinquish. I'll let it go and I'll move on because I know something else is waiting. I know there's something else for me to do. So I move on to the last verse. One day I saw him by the barn door, lean his whole weight upon the latch. Thin as a weather-beaten split rail, he was light as a burned-out kitchen match. He'd spent his days, he'd spent his body. He didn't know no other way. "What you hold back in your living, son," he said, "you'll only waste upon your grave." So these images in this last verse definitely come from my grandpa Stockburger, my mom's dad. We did have an old family farm, and he didn't farm it anymore. In fact, much of it had been sold off, but there was still the original homestead, and when I was young, the original barn was still standing. It's since collapsed to the ground, but we would go up to the old farm and we would visit, and I remember seeing him walking around that farm where he grew up. I remember him pulling open that old barn door. And my grandpa was relatively skinny too, weathered. A lot of his work had been done outside, you know. He'd lived a manual labor life, though he was absolutely capable of plenty of white collar, doing plenty of white collar things. He had lived his life in a very manual labor existence. But we moved into this idea of how much do you save back? How much of yourself do you save back for later? Do you save it back? Do you say, "Well, I'm not gonna expend myself too much. I'm not gonna wear myself out. And I think the philosophy here in this song is, if you don't spend it while you're alive, you're gonna waste it on your grave. Don't come to the end of your life saying, "Well, I saved back all this stuff. I didn't quite do everything. I was kind of saving it, and I guess I won't get to that." Come to the end of your life spent. Come to the end of your life having used it fully, not having held back, not having saved it up a little bit. And why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why would you not save it back? Well, we get to the final refrain. When his body finally gave out, I knew exactly what he'd say. "Looks like the good Lord wants me somewhere else, son. Guess I'll call it a day." And we don't go into the belief system here, but we know there's this idea about the good Lord, and we know there's this idea that a good Lord's got something good for me after this life. And there's not this worry about, "Well, did I do it all just exactly right? Did I do it all exactly right so that I get something good? Or did I screw it up real bad so I'm going to get something bad after I'm gone?" Well, no, this is a good Lord. This is a benevolent higher being. This is a God of love. This is the confidence to know that if I lived it and I spent it doing the good that I could do, then a good Lord has got something better for me now. If it's time for me to go, it's time for me to leave here, then there's something good beyond. And I don't have to know exactly what that is. I don't have to be able to point you to book, chapter, verse and say, "Here's the proof that I'm going to go to heaven instead of hell," or whatever it is, whatever your system is. It's the knowledge and the capacity to rest in a benevolent creator, a benevolent creation, a benevolent universe that is moving in a positive direction, not a hell-bent direction. So, now the song itself, I mean, music-wise, I should say, really very traditional country, really upbeat. In fact, and I love this version, but if I had any complaints about it, it's a little too upbeat. In fact, the times when I've done this live in the intervening years, I have almost always slowed it down. I've almost always tried to make it a little bit more contemplative, a little more. This one is really upbeat. And I think I was having a lot of fun with the instrumentation because it is a really fun chord progression. And I brought in all kinds of bluegrassy stuff that I just loved bringing in with the acoustic guitar and mandolin and harmonica that thumping stand-up bass and all of that good stuff. But it verges. In fact, my wife and I used to joke about this when we listened to that, especially the instrumental. If you listen to that instrumental section, you can almost sing Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer during that section. It almost fits. And as for me and Grandpa, we agree. If you know that goofy, stupid Christmas song, just see if that doesn't strike you as fitting in that section. So that's not exactly the kind of weight that I think the lyric is calling for. Now we did have a lot of fun with the harmonies. Was really proud of the harmonies on this. This was Cheryl and myself. I think I sang a couple of parts and she sang a couple of three parts maybe, and that turned out great. And this was really one of our first. I mean, this was my first album, and so this was everything was brand new. Every time we did something kind of halfway right, it felt like it was wow, amazing right. And I'm a little more picky now, probably. But I value and I appreciate the way this came out and the feeling of it. And it's always been a song that I was really proud of. And maybe, you know, maybe a couple of my favorite lines I've ever written, maybe. What you hold back in your living, you'll only waste upon your grave. Those may be a couple of my favorite lines that I've written. I think they're pretty good. So that is 2000's Call It A Day. So let's jump right in to Call It A Day from Ozzy's Guitar 20 Years Later, 2020's version. And what you should know fundamentally about this version, one, it does take a very different approach, and that thanks to a particular instrument that is highlighted, and that is a lap dulcimer. That's not an instrument that I play very often. In fact, I think this is my first exploration of lap dulcimer in any of my recordings. But this dulcimer was actually made by my wife's father, Roger Leslie. He made it. He lives part of the year in Branson, Missouri, and there's a lot of that kind of music going on down there. And I think he got some plans and spent some spare leisure time that he had in making a dulcimer. And then he said, "Well, you know, this is just kind of hanging on our wall." He said, "Maybe if you use this, you can have it for a little while and use that." So I thought, "Well, there we go. I need to use that on a song." So I played around with it, and it just gave a completely different flavor to Call It A Day. The kind of flavor that I really think the lyrics were calling for. Much more haunting. You'll listen to it here in a second and you can decide for yourself, but more haunting, more epic in a way. And, And so so we'll listen now to 2020's Call It A Day from Ozzy's Guitar 20 Years Later, featuring Roger Leslie's handmade lab dulcimer.
I spent the morning with my father, fishing for lake trout in the stream. We caught nothing but the north wind and a handful of rainbow-colored dreams. He smoked the pipe my grandpa gave him. I chewed a blade of lost him. Figures in the lamplight, lining up ciphers on the page. His neck was red as a clay sword, his forehead pale as the sea. He'd shave his pencils with a jackknife. He kept our savings in a jar. Finally gave up. You said, looks like the good Lord won't head somewhere else, my son. Yes, I call it a day. You said, looks like the good Lord won't head somewhere else, my son. Yes, I call it a day.
Call it a day. That one doesn't remind me of Grandma got ran over by a reindeer for sure. So that version slowed down, more epic in nature. I think the dulcimer helps with that. The dulcimer is the main instrument all the way through there. Now we have some percussion. But fairly early on, we have some strings coming in the back. And then during the instrumental section and coming back in, then right near the end, we've got a little solo bit with combination mandolin and penny whistle. Gives it just a little bit of a Celtic feel there, which is nice. And then the vocal harmonies. Now I did the vocal harmonies all kind of all male throughout the most of the song until we get there right at the last verse, and then bring in Cheryl brought in several harmonies on top of the male harmonies that were there already, which just fills that out there at the very end. And so it really, to me, it that's the feel that I think I wanted as I, throughout the years, as I tried to slow the song down when I did it and try to make it a little more epic, try to make it a little more thoughtful, a little more reflective, a little more contemplative, that big open feel. Is kind of what I was aiming for, and I feel really pleased with that one. This is one that I'm really, really pleased with on the new album, the way it turned out, both in its complexity and its simplicity. I owe a big debt of thanks to Roger Leslie for making such a fine instrument that worked out really well for that song. I'm so glad I had that too. That really set the direction for the new version of Call It A Day. Well, there we have it. Call It A Day from 2000's Ozzy's Guitar and from 2020's Ozzy's Guitar 20 years later. You can find all my music, all my lyrics at scottsimpsonmusic.com. Stream on Spotify or on Apple Music or iHeartRadio, anywhere else that you like to stream your music. You can find me on YouTube as well. Appreciate your time in listening to the music and also in spending a little bit of time each week with me in talking about what's behind the songs. Also, I can't forget to thank Tom Paxton. What an amazing treasure for us as Americans to have Tom Paxton and his songs. And what a great gift to me for him to get me kicked off on inspiring this particular song from my catalog. So, hope your week is a wonderful week, and hope that things go your way, and when they don't, that you have the strength to just relinquish them and move on, because there's something great just around the corner, the next thing for you to pick up. Be well.